going to be referring to some of this material. The material is in a booklet put out, published by the IAMCS, which we're part of, the International Alliance of Messianic Jewish Congregations and Synagogues. It's a doctrinal statement on there is only one Torah. There's only one Torah, and it's a written Torah. This elucidates way, way more on the topic, including bringing sources of education and all those things. So it was written by two lawyers. Okay, in both lawyers are Messianic rabbis. One is in Houston, and the other one is in Clearwater. And so these are, you know, when in matters that involve law, they are well versed in the matters of law. I want to approach the subject not so much from a lawyer's point of view, but from a scriptural point of view. For our congregation, there is only one catechism. There is only one rule of law. There is only one published statement of beliefs. It's in the Bible. We don't have anything except for the Bible. We don't need to add a creed. We don't need to add a halakha. We don't need to add any of those things. It's in the Bible. Last week's parashat ended with the 10 words or the 10 commandments. The entire assembly of Israel was present, from the smallest baby to the oldest person. The entire congregation of Israel was present. That means that the baby, in fact, it talks about babies that are in their mom's, I don't know how to say it in English, nice. So, nursing. The nursing moms, the babies are nursing, but they're listening to Adonai's word. Adonai's word was heard by everybody. Not just Moses, not just the elders of Israel, but everybody. And he continued to speak beyond chapter 20. Today's parashat is called Mishpatim, the judgments. And the Mishpatim, the judgments, this is now a new nation. A wedding has taken place in Sinai. And the Lord has married his people. He has brought forth and created a nation out of what were slaves from the children of Israel and many Gentiles. There were lots of people that crossed the Red Sea, just like in the Holocaust. It wasn't just the Jews that died. There was a good million and a half of non-Jews that protected the Jewish people and paid the price. And we know of many of them, okay? We know of many righteous men that did awesome things for our people, like Schindler. Schindler is actually entombed in Israel. He's credited for saving thousands of Jewish people from the Nazis. Well, we were there too. We, in the representatives of the nations, were present at the mountain. And what was in chapter 21, 22, and 23 were the beginnings, the foundation so that nation could actually have some laws and function as a nation. Because up to now, for the last long time, 430 years, they had been a bunch of slaves, primarily. Okay, so now they're free. Now they're a nation. What does the Lord have to say? So he goes on and speaks all of these things. I'd like for you, if you would today, go to your Bible, to Exodus chapter 24. Verses 1 through 12, and hold it right there. In a minute, I'll read from it. So if you don't have it, you can listen. But if you have it, you can have it and mark it. I'm going to begin in Exodus 19 before the Lord spoke the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. Before all this speaking, it says, verse 7, "So Moses went and called for the elders of the people and put before them all these words that Adonai had commanded him." Adonai had commanded for them to take a bath and all those things and come to the mountain and listen. Here's their response, verse 8, their response. It says, all the people answered together. All the people answered together and said, "Everything that Adonai has spoken, we will do. Everything we will do." And then, as the Lord wasn't there listening to this anyway, the scripture goes on and says, "Then Moses reported the words of the people to Adonai." So then begins the process where they walk to the mountain, they stand there, there's a lightning and all those things, and the Lord speaks. And continues speaking in Exodus 21, 22, and 23. So now we get to Exodus 24. This is a very important portion of scripture for Messianic Jewish people. Very important. Very important. Begins, "Then to Moses Adonai said, come up to Adonai, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel." The 70 plus Nadab and Abihu makes how many? I don't have time to get into that. It's 72 people that go up there. Okay? "And worship from afar. Moses alone is to approach Adonai, but the others may not draw near, nor are the people to go up with him." Verse 3. "So Moses came and told the people all the words of Adonai, as well as the ordinances." That's chapters 21, 22, and 23. Okay? "And all the people answered with one voice." And notice what they said. They said the same thing they said before he spoke. The very same words. "All the words which Adonai has spoken, we will do." So before they hear, "We will do," all the words, whatever he said. After he finished speaking, all the words, whatever he said. At this point, it was orally. Okay, let's continue. Verse 4. "So Moses wrote down all the words of Adonai." What do you mean? What? What? He took a scroll and wrote. You say, "What? Well, what about the tablets?" Hang on. It's coming. He wrote all the words of Adonai in a book. "Then after he was done with that, rose up early in the morning and built an altar below the mountain, along with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel." Verse 5. "He then sent out young men of Bnei Israel who sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings of oxen to Adonai." He sent who? The old guys. I'm sorry. I have to really keep it straight. But it's not just the old men after all, is it? It's not just the old men after all. There are some things that only young people can do. If you're a young person in this congregation, you're precious to the Lord. And you're precious to us. We don't have all the answers. And even if we had some idea of what it is that the Lord wants, typically we're just not able to carry it out. Not in our older age like you can. You can. And then you... According to this, you're the ones that are able to offer the offerings. That also includes worship. Verse 6, "Then Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half he poured out against the altar." Do you see this? Have you seen this before? Do you remember the splitting of the pieces in half And the Lord walking in the middle of that and telling, Remember, he tells whoever he told, I hope that you know, for goodness sake. In the cleft of the rock, you can see my hind parts, but you can't see my front. And hides his eyes from seeing the Lord because he would be consumed in the cleft of the rock. The famous song, in your presence, that's where I belong. In your presence, that's where I'm strong. In your presence, that's where I belong. In the cleft of the rock. That will come. You'll see it. It also happened with Abraham. Again, he took the pieces of the covenant, divided it in half, and he walked in the midst. This dividing in half is a sign of a covenant. This is not just words here. This is a covenant being cut right here. Then, verse 7, he took the scroll of the covenant. Right, so why was it that he wrote? He wrote the scroll, all right? Makes sense? And read it in the hearing of the people. In other words, they said, before you speak, we're going to do it. Then he spoke, and the people said, whatever you said, we're going to do. And Moses writes it down, and he reads it to them. It says right here, he took the scroll and read it in the hearing of the people. And this is the verse that I quote in our bulletin every week. And again they said, Asher diver Adonai na'aseh v'nishma. All that Adonai has spoken, Asher diver Adonai, we will do. Well, that's what they've said before. But now they add something else. We will obey. Nishma comes Shema, from Shema. Shema. And Shema doesn't mean, I know it's translated here. In fact, we say Shema Israel is here, O Israel. But we in Messianic Judaism, we who have studied the Bible, actually understand that Shema means more than hearing. Shema means to do what was said to prove what was heard. To do what was said in order to prove that we heard. Shema means the proof of the hearing. The proof of the hearing. We have a tendency to listen and not do. Oh, well, maybe you don't. But in Marilyn and I's about to be 43 years, there have been times when she's speaking to me and she would just stop a moment and say, where are you? Where are you? Can you come back so we can finish the conversation? It's not just one way. There have been plenty of times that I'm speaking and at some point I hear that, you know, like, okay, I just put her to sleep. She was not listening. She did not hear what I had to say. And it's not every time. There's been those times. I'm just picking on a little something. We actually have to have a little pepper with our salt for the last 43 years. And we've had a little bit of pepper here and there. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't have 100% on listening, and she doesn't have it either. And neither do my kids. Ian or Ami, right there. Because we would say, amen, da, 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 da. And then, you know, there would be a tendency to want to go back and tell them, remember what I said. Because they're not moving, they're not doing. So we learn early, training kids God's way. We don't need to say it a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time. We need to say it once. And then expect that it's going to be done. So, Amelise, by this time, you will have your room clean or whatever it is. I'm going to use that as an example. Have your room clean. And then we go away. I go to do what I needed to do. She'd go do what she needed to do. And when that boundary time came over, when Siri activated the thing and it go bing, 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 bing. Okay. Then we go back and go to see the results. If the room was clean, then obviously she heard, and obviously she obeyed, right? We say, in summary, she obeyed. But it's two ways. She heard and she obeyed. She understood, hearing with her ears, and obeyed. At that moment, what do you do? Well, here's what you should do. We don't do sometimes. Great! That was what was expected. You know, and then just move on. Like, it didn't matter. I tell you what, that's not what it's supposed to happen. What's supposed to happen is when our small children are being trained this way, and they do what they're supposed to do, and they obey when they're supposed to obey, we need to celebrate it. We need to, you know, Marilyn would say to pick them up and you know, and hold her and have a cuddly time. I unfortunately was not the cuddly type, but there was an opportunity to invest and say, this is awesome. I'm so proud of you that you did what you were supposed to do, what we ask you to do, which is what you're supposed to do if you're a child, whatever the parents say. So notice, all that Adonai has spoken, na'aseh from oseh, we will do. Ve'nishma from nishma from shma, and we will prove that we heard by obeying. The TLV translates it as obey. Then, verse 8, Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. Not all of it, right? He already sprinkled the blood on the altar and things like that. He now takes the other half and sprinkles it on the people. This seals the covenant, my friend. And said, behold the blood of the covenant which Adonai has cut with you. It almost reminds me, this is my blood of the new covenant that I'm making with you. Isn't it? Isn't it just like that? Isn't it just that Yeshua really quoted this? In agreement with all these words. What? The covenant in agreement with all these words. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up. Verse 10, they saw the God of Israel. All right, not just Moses, not just Joshua, which is not even mentioned here. Joshua's not mentioned here. They saw, it says, they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet was something like a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the very heavens. Obviously, they saw something, okay? Sapphires are beautiful things to see. Yet, he did not raise his hand against the nobles of Israel. Why didn't he raise his hand? Why would that be the case? Notice the next sentence. So they beheld God and ate and drank. They beheld God. They're seeing the Almighty. And like most of us in this congregation, let's eat something. Let's drink something. It doesn't say wine, but this is an occasion for it. Verse 12, and Adonai said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay there. And I will give you, I marked this in red in the paper. I will give you the tablets of stone with the Torah and the mitzvot, which I have written so that you may instruct them. The tablets were written by the hand of God, not by Moses chiseling. Moses wrote a Torah scroll. Adonai wrote it in tablets of stone. Do you think those tablets are precious? Would you like to know? Wouldn't it be nice to have it so we could see what style of handwriting Adonai used? Because clearly Moses didn't. So wouldn't that be like a beautiful font? Wouldn't that be something to beheld? I think so. I need to get busy because I want to finish early in time and my time's going away. When our people in Parashat Mishpatim heard all the words of Adonai and all his judgments, the Mishpatim, the response by all Israel was, all the words Adonai has spoken, we will do. This is exactly, almost precisely, the same thing they had said before in Exodus 19:8. All the words which Adonai has spoken, we will do. Sounds like pretty much the same. The Torah records for us in Exodus 24:4 that Moses wrote all the words. Did you see that all there? Are there any words that were not written? This is really important. Are there any words that the Lord spoke that were not written? All the words spoken by Adonai. Moses wrote down all the words of Adonai, I quote, followed by the reading of just those very things that he heard. In the audience of the people, at that point, what is their response? Asher diber Adonai na'aseh. No, they went a little further. Asher diber Adonai na'aseh v'nishma. We will obey as well. We will prove that we heard it. The Art Scroll Tanakh, with Art Scroll is a publication by the Orthodox in New York, and the TLV translated correctly, we will do and we will obey. Actually, what we need there is a big long statement that says, we will prove that we heard by doing what he said. That's obedience. The first part of the response is identical to the previous references. It comes from the verb oseh. Oseh shalom b'romam hu yaseh shalom aleinu. Oseh, he who makes, he who does. So it's, we will do. That's the verb, the ba'al verb. Oseh is the ba'al verb, to do. It's one of the first ones you learn in Hebrew. But now, after having heard the words orally, and upon hearing, they heard the words orally. Can you, for a moment, fathom? You heard God say it. And then all you said was, I will do it. But when you heard the written words of what God said, when you got the written word, and it's read to you and it's written, they can't help it. We're going to do more than do it. We're going to obey. We're going to add nishma. We're going to prove that we heard by our actions. We call that intrinsic and explicit obedience. This was a complete and binding covenant. This moment is the covenant moment. You realize what's going on here? This is like in a wedding when the after the bride says, I do, the last time. Right. The next thing you do is you hand them the cup of the covenant which they drink. There ain't no more to say. What happens? They finish drinking the cup of the covenant, and the attendant picks up the cup, wraps it in a cloth, and sticks it down there. And he looks at the groom that goes with, as proud as he can. Kaboom! So that better be made out of glass, right? Not pewter. Not rock. By the way, not cheap glass, right? Cheap glass, you stomp on it, it may not break. But precious, precious glass, when he stomps it, ain't going to be nothing left. And the reason is that from that cup, this is never going to be repeated again. This is once and for all. They're married once and for all. And that's what it means by breaking the glass. It's saying, the groom is saying, this is binding forever. I can't even touch that piece of glass. Most people don't throw it away. Most people in Jewish weddings keep it. We have ours. It's in a satin bag. in a drawer someplace. 43 years, I don't remember where it is, but it is somewhere. And you take it out and you go, I mean, we can't re-drink this. We already did it. This was a complete and binding endorsement. The text shows that Moses went on to perform the ancient ritual of ratification of a covenant with the shedding of blood, which was a practice of those times. And I read again, then Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood. Allow me the folly here. This is the blood of the new covenant that I'm making with you. Foreshadowing the Messiah. After that, God called Moses to the mountain again in order to receive what's called in Hebrew the Luchot Habrit, the tablets of the covenant. Even though Adonai had already spoken the 10 words in the hearing of everybody and spoke the rest of the stuff in the hearing of all of the children of Israel, now Moses gives the children of Israel those very words preserved forever in a book. And then he brings the tablets, whom God himself with his finger wrote. Adonai himself, I will give you the tablets of stone with the Torah and the mitzvot. Notice, it's not just the Torah. It's you know, we tend to say, well, it's only the five books, the Torah. Well, no, it's all of it. It's all of it. Which I have written so that you may instruct them. Throughout Torah, he continually makes the point that Adonai gave his word to Moses to be conveyed in written format. Please note my point. To be conveyed in written format. Why not just in oral format? When you get my age and you start remembering things, you start embellishing and saying things that the person who was there, younger one, like my daughter and son, would say, Dad, that wasn't quite it. You added to it. Of course, that agrees with the mom. But he's saying to me, you're adding to what was there. No, I'm remembering right. No. I'm adding to it. Therefore, Adonai gave the written word to Israel in order to fulfill his purpose, as stated to Abraham, that he's going to make from one man a great nation for the benefit of all mankind. Look what was said in Exodus 19:6. You will be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, I'm segula, to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness, into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, verse 7 or 9, I don't remember. Whoa. Therefore, what as you have read with me today, is there a possibility for an oral Torah outside of the written Torah? Was there any words that Adonai said that were not recorded? No. In fact, it says all of the words. And then they were all read in front of the people, in front of God. And Adonai said, you know, evidently he did it right. This is now a covenant. No. It says Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Second point I want to make is this covenant is based on the written law, not on anything else. is based on the written law, not on anything else. Verse 27, then Adonai said to Moses, write these words, for based on these words I have cut a covenant with you and with all of Israel. So that's Exodus 34, verse 7, 27. Thirdly, his words are written in a Torah scroll, not in an iPhone, and not in a Torah scroll. Verse 58 of Deuteronomy 28 says, if you do not take care to do all the words of this Torah, the things written in this scroll, the things written in this scroll, to fear his glorious and awesome name of Adonai your God. Jump to verse 10 of chapter 30. When you listen to the voice of Adonai your God to keep his mitzvot and his statutes that are the make-believe of Moses or Joshua or anybody else. That's not what it says. Let me read you what it says. That are written in this scroll of the Torah. The thing you're responsible for is what's written in the scroll. You're responsible for what the Torah says, what the Bible says. When you turn to Adonai your God with all your heart and all your soul, then I hear you. It's not going to be on the basis, well, Lord, let me give you $50. Or I'm just going to do a good deed for Pat. Or I'm going to cook a nice meal for John. Whatever. And go say, here, Lord, take this. He might go, well, that's good and good, well and good. What I really want is for you to do what I said. Fourthly, we are to read this Torah publicly. It's not hidden. It's not just, we'll read it, we'll read it once a year. No, it's not hidden. It has to be read writtenly. Here it says, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 9 through 13, Moses wrote down this Torah, here it is again, and gave it to the Kohanim, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time of the year of canceling debts, you know what that is? Shemitah. On the Shemitah year, during the Feast of Sukkot, when all Israel comes to appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses, you are to read this Torah scroll before them in their hearing. Gather the people. Who's that? Well, the elders and a few of you. Everybody else go home. No. Let me continue reading. Gather the people, the men, the women, and the little ones. Who? Who? The little ones. I know, but you see, we transfer them to the children's church. They're over there in another camp, making merry. I'm sorry. There's a place for that, but there's a place for this too. The little ones and the outsider, that's a clue word for Gentiles, that are within your town gates, so that they may hear, Shema, and then they may learn, and they will fear Adonai your God and take care to do all the words of this Torah, the written one. So their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear Adonai your God all the days you live on the land that you're about to cross over the Jordan to possess. And finally, the finished written Sefer Torah was placed in the Ark of the Covenant. This is where it was kept. Now when Moses had finished writing the words of this Torah on his scroll, right to the end, Moses commanded the Levites, carriers of the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai, saying, take the scroll of the Torah, place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai your God. It will remain in there. So that you can remember as a witness against you. because we said we were going to do it. All the words we're going to do. It's about doing, okay? It's about obeying. I have one last thing to talk about. Who sits in Moses' seat? What are you talking about? Well, you read these words of Yeshua, Matthew. Matthew 23, 1 through 3. These words are challenging. In the face of a human tendency to try and usurp authority that belongs to Adonai only. Verse 1, Matthew 23, verse 1. Then Yeshua spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, the Torah scholars and Pharisees sit on the seat of Moses. So whatever they tell you to do and observe, whatever they tell you, do and observe. But don't do what they do. For what they say, they do not do. Now, if you read the whole context, you know what that means. They could be just telling you what the Bible says, and they are telling you, you got to get this done, and you go do it, and you look around to see where are they. They're in the bar. Happy hour. I don't know, somewhere. Not here. Traditionally, watch the following. The Pharisees unilaterally seated themselves in this seat. There is a seat in every excavated synagogue called Moses' seat. It's a place of honor. The Pharisees, it said, unilaterally seated themselves here. When you look at the Hebrew and the Greek of the Authorized Version, what it actually says, when you say Authorized Version, it means the Greek and the Hebrew of what was used to generate the King James in the first place. What it translates this as, you are to shomer, you are to guard what I tell you to guard. What was it that was being told to guard? Ignore it. It's okay. Lightning and song. Hallelujah. Okay? The Torah. That's what they're guarding. Yeshua took the power of people, of the religious leaders, and did the following. He gave his disciples the power to bind and loose, to forbid and permit, and to make halakha. He gave it to Peter and the disciples. And by implication, he gave it to the believing community, because he did not give them to the unbelievers. Please note the following. The power to bind and loose, forbid and permit and make halakha was given to the believers. It was not given to the unbelieving Jewish community of his day. They never believed then and they still don't believe now. This is hard words, okay? Not trivial. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Yeshua said in Matthew 16, very important verse. Whatever you forbid on earth, whatever you, Peter and the disciples, forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. That also appears in Matthew 21 and in Acts 15. One final word. The church fathers believed the gospel of Matthew was originally written in Hebrew. When you pick up an old-timey Catholic Bible and read the preamble to the book of Matthew, it actually says the book of Matthew was written in Hebrew, but we never found it. We don't have it. However, there have been some manuscripts found. One of those manuscripts found is called the Shem Tov. I have it in my computer. And when you open the Shem Tov version of Matthew 23, 1 through 3, it reads, all that he there is a pronoun, is referring to Moses. All that he, not all that they. All that he tells you to do, okay, do it. It doesn't say all that the Pharisees say do. In the Shem Tov, it says, look, it's the difference of one word, one Hebrew letter. In the Shem Tov Bible, it says Omer, which is he says. And in the translated versions that you find, when they go back, they translate it as Omru, they say. Let me say that again. All that the Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses, and all that he, now who is the he here? The Moses that they're sitting on behalf of, all that Moses said, do. What did Moses say? Torah. Torah. He says, there's no doubt here. All that's in the Torah, that's what Moses said, do. Yeshua finishes in Matthew 23:3 by saying the following, do not do according to their deeds. That word in Hebrew is takanot. 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 Which is also the same Hebrew word that is used in Matthew 15. When Yeshua opposes the traditions of men that make null and void the word of God. What is this tradition? Oh, the traditions of men make void the word of God. What's that word there? The word takanot. It's exactly the same word that's here. It's exactly the same word. In other words, the so-called authority of the seed of Moses, Yeshua didn't say, do what the Pharisees say. Although you could say, well, if what they say is the Torah, we better do it. The problem is that they don't always say the Torah. The problem is that they were always imputing on people extra things to do, like wash your hands and do this and sit down and stand up and don't do this on Shabbat and do that on Shabbat and all these takanot. Yeshua is not saying do the takanot. Yeshua is saying do what Moses said. Okay? And one last thing I want to tell you. There is where the Lord gave the Sanhedrin, the court, a power to make decisions. Let me say that again. The Lord gave children of Israel through Sanhedrin the power to make decisions. But they were not the Supreme Court. Let me just ask a lawyer, okay? Court down here makes a decision. And if you want to appeal, you appeal to a higher court. And then you appeal to a higher court. And then you finally appeal to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is God's word. They were able to decide certain cases that came before them, but they were not, and the Bible did not give them the authority to make a universal halakha. That is, to make rules over every area of a person's life that's binding for all time. That's a job for the Supreme Court. Isn't it? Don't they make a decision and then that becomes the precedent? Is the court a precedent, the lower court? The answer is no. If it's at a lower court, it only applies in, you know, it's a lower court in Alachua, not a lower court in Timbuktu. And it's governed, the authority of the court in Alachua is Alachua, not Levy County, and not any other county. Come on now, let's be reasonable here. If you wanted something that applies to the whole state of Florida, you got to go to the Florida Supreme Court. And if you want something that applies to the whole world, quote unquote, we think America is the whole world. It's not. We go to the Supreme Court. They are the ones that make decisions that are binding. Therefore, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we are going to Naaseh v'Nishma. What are we going to Naaseh v'Nishma? The written Torah, the written Word of God. We're going to Na'aseh v'nishma, that word, forever. What about oral Torahs and da-da? And, you know, somebody can come up and say, if you really want to court your wife, quote her a Spanish poem. Seldal flotante de leve bruma, rizada cinta de blanca espuma, rumor sonoro de arpa de oro, beso de Laura, onda de luz, eso eres tú. What if I don't do it? Lose an opportunity, but I didn't sin. I didn't sin. If the rabbis come up with stuff that is useful, and you choose you want to do it, great. But if the rabbis come up with something and they tell you, you got to do this, well, where is it in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. Then, in other words, there is no such thing as an oral Torah. There's only one thing, the written Torah, the one that's in that scroll. Shabbat Shalom.